Hello, and welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman. I'm Judy. Now, as always, for those of you that are return listeners, welcome back. And for the new ones, we are so excited to have you here. Selling in a Skirt is all about community, connection, and creating these amazing relationships. We empower professional women, and we always encourage men to advocate, champion, and be sponsors for women. Now, what I love most about what I get to do is I get to introduce you to so many amazing people, and today is no exception. So I'm going to read a little bit about my guest, but I'm going to let him tell you everything. So here's what's going on. Today, we have Greg Wirth. He's the Dean of Workforce Education at the Florida State College of Jacksonville. He's Dr. Wirth. He provides strategic leadership and management for a comprehensive range of career and technical education programs. His responsibilities span across 11 non-credit programs and 15 continuing workforce education programs, including programs in construction, in logistics, in the trades, in healthcare and beauty, you name it, they do it. So, without further ado, I'm going to let Greg talk about a little bit what he does and everything else. So welcome, Greg. I am so excited to have you here.
Judy, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and speak today. I really appreciate it. I think this show and what you've done and your platform is just amazing. And so congratulations on everything. And I'm sorry that you have to talk to and listen to me today, but I do really appreciate the opportunity to be here. As Judy said, I'm Greg Wirth. I'm the Dean of Workforce Education at Florida State College at Jacksonville. We run short-term programs, entry-level programs for individuals to come in, sometimes retool themselves or prepare themselves to go into whether it's a construction trade like welding or electricity, or in healthcare, like practical nursing, medical assisting, nursing assistant, the gamut, right? Our CDL program, which is our commercial vehicle driving program, is one of the top in the country. We have people that come all around, not from anything that I do, but from some great program management and great leaders that we have here at the college that have built and established wonderful programs. And so what I do is I support those leaders. And so I help them find what they need when they need additional resources, if they need additional personnel or whatever. We also work to bring in grants. We connect from employers and build industry connection and bridges. And so that's what I feel like I do every single day is I'm having a conversation on one of those topics, trying to make a difference for some of the students that come through and touch base here in Northeast Florida.
Well, you're very modest. And I know when I told you originally that we were going to share your brilliance, you're like, what? What kind of that? What are you talking about? You're the one that actually creates the culture. You're the one that creates the opportunities. You just have the right people around you to make it happen. But I know there's always a backstory, and not all of us grew up saying, well, I want to be the dean of a college, or I want to be this. So what's your backstory? How did you get to where you are today?
So that's really, yeah, absolutely. That was like the last thing that was on my mind. I grew up in Western Kentucky, and I was working in marketing or in banking, but in the banking realm. About the time what 2008 happened, and so I started looking for different opportunities because of what was happening in the banking industry. I reached out to a friend of mine at the college, and I said, hey, do you know anybody? And he said, this was at Murray State University, and he said, yeah. He goes, I'm actually looking for a lecturer. Do you want to come in and, work for me? And I was like, sure, why not? So I went up there and just really fell back in love with education, and taught 4 years at Murray State University. It was we taught communication, interpersonal communication in the workplace, and some leadership courses and things of that nature. And it was just absolutely a beautiful experience. My wife came, I came home one day and my wife was sitting there and she goes, hey, I got a promotion. And I was like, oh, cool. And she was like, it's 1,000 miles away. And I was like, huh. And so we started having that conversation. My wife is the more talented one in the family. And so we ended up moving to Philadelphia, the Philadelphia region. And I had the opportunity to work at the University of Pennsylvania, which is a large Ivy League institution. I was in fundraising there. And it was an amazing experience to see how that institution works and that institution of that caliber works. Then we moved further to Savannah, and I was at Georgia Southern. and then we moved here. Workforce was not what I did. Workforce was not in my realm of what I was aiming to do. It found me, and I fell in love with it. When I was brought into this role and kind of developed into even this position, it didn't exist when I came on board. Being able to go back to the marketing in the industry, relationship experience in the past and business development, and bring it into education and really bring all of my experience together, it's been fantastic. And I love this space. This is the space I want to be in for the remainder of the career.
Okay, so you brought up the perfect topic about workforce. A lot of people don't know what workforce is. A lot of people do. So tell us what workforce is to you and to Jacksonville College, but also what it means, how it's changed over the past few years.
Sure. What workforce is we have all of these industries that they're in desperate need of talented, trained, skilled employees, right? We're missing that. We here in Jacksonville, North Florida, Northeast Florida, we have more jobs than we have people, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. And we've seen this giant expansion in the marketplace, and it's been fantastic. I mean, I think we were just named one of the top two employers or top five employers by the Wall Street Journal. Just in this past week, our region from employment standpoint. So there's so many jobs here, and we need talented individuals. And so what we do is we work with business and industry. We consistently talk to them, and then we help build pipelines into that organization. We also work with nonprofit organizations and work with marginalized or communities that were unrepresented previously. And we try to create pipelines to bring those individuals through our programs and also connect them with industry. And so we spend a lot of time all day long making that, what are the skills that are necessarily needed for this particular job? What's the amount of jobs that are out there? And then how do we go out and recruit students that would be interested in those types of programs? And some of our programs are through the Florida Department of Education, and those are fantastic. And we have, large frameworks like our welding program or our commercial vehicle driving program or practical nursing. And then other ones are what's considered continuing workforce education. And we have a lot of flexibility. So like when the Alarm Association of Florida, which has since changed names, came and said, hey, could you build a low voltage tech program for us? We sat down with them, listened to their needs, and we built a program specifically for them. And so we're constantly having those conversations and adjusting our curriculum to make sure that we're matching what the industry needs here locally.
That's amazing. And especially, because there are so many jobs and there aren't so many qualified people to take those positions, I know why workforce is so important in today's market, but there's many people that are talking about post-secondary education, and people are looking for things that don't exist, but there are companies that are looking for specific things. So you just said you built a program. How common is that? I mean, how fast can you turn something around, especially since half the things that are gonna happen for next year haven't been invented yet?
I would love to tell you that it happens like overnight. We're able to make it happen, right? It doesn't happen overnight, right? Because we need to build and make sure that we have the learning objectives that are needed, right? And that we've tested those and make sure that what we're teaching to is bringing that. For instance, that low voltage program probably took us a year long to bring on board. And I think we could have done it a little bit faster, but there were a couple of other things, and the association also was making some changes. And so that might have, changed it a little bit. But overall, right now we're working on building a short-term AI certificate, right? And it's we're going to start with like a three-hour workshop. Well, we built that in relatively lightning speed, just because we have the subject matter expertise to do that with our faculty. But a longer program we're looking at, it's taking a little bit. So we're gonna create some teasers, and then we're gonna come out with a more artificial generative AI program that's a little bit longer in length, that's taking us maybe 6 to 8 weeks or 6 to 8 months to actually build it out and make it
yeah,
work.
But that's relatively short anyway, when you really think about it. It really is.
Sure.
So, is there a special kind of university that says we need to have workforce? Because not all schools have that. And, I'm thinking that in this environment, it's even more and more important. So what makes, what makes your school, the Florida State College of Jacksonville, what makes you the perfect university to do that? I know there's a few in Dallas that are do that. I mean, but what is it about you that says, okay, we're going to listen to what people really need and we're going to do it?
Sure. From our standpoint, we are a community college. We're the community's college is the way we like to say it. Of course, we have associate's degrees, AS degrees. We do have a few bachelor's degrees based on some changes that happened. In Florida, the community college space, a lot like Texas, has always had a large workforce contingency. And so that is always ever present. And so different states seem to do it a little bit different. You are starting to see more universities get into it because they're also seeing it as an opportunity to another avenue to build revenue, right? And so they're looking at it from that perspective, where we're looking at it a little bit like, how can we create a pipeline or a pathway for students? When I'm talking about students that I'm trying to bring into a nursing assistant program, I don't want them to stop there, right? I want to bring them in, I want to train them and get them, but what we're making sure that we're doing is we're building the necessary pathway. So you can go from nursing assistant to practical nurse to, ASN to BSN and so on and so forth, right? And so we're looking at all of our different areas to make sure that those pathways are established, and where they're not, we're really having hard conversations with ourselves to see what kind of articulated credit can we provide, or what kind of pathway, and how can we even work with students to push them further. We've talked about stackable credentials in education for maybe 20 years or so. I feel like here at the college, we've been actually really doing it for the last couple of years, and it's really pretty exciting.
I love the idea when you say you're building a pathway for students, because I think a lot of times people, students will get a certification in something and then, okay, we're done now. So I think it's really important that you're actually giving them the blueprint to do this. So how many, do you have a lot of students that start with this and go all the way to this with you or somewhere else?
I'm not going to say a lot. I believe that this is still in the infancy stage, right? So from that perspective, we do have students. And in fact, we just brought on a part-time advisor she's full-time, but she's gonna be working part-time on the healthcare side, whose sole job is to reach out to students and talk to them about grant opportunities, reach out to alumni and ask them to come back to build that pathway forward. We're also working with local industry, we're working with one of the local hospital systems where we're teaching CNAs to become practical nursing on their location, or another one where we're actually working with individuals from food services, from call centers, and we're training them to be medical assistants. And so, we're actually teaching that on site at those institutions, as well as at our own. We've also taken these same programs and we've taken them to the high school, and we're providing what's called dual enrollment, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is something that's new for our vocational programs that we launched last year. And currently we have 6. And so we're really excited and we're seeing a lot of expansion. Well, we're awarded a grant from the state to kind of fund some of these, to build some of these labs out so we can have real equipment that's embedded into some of our high schools. And so those students are really seeing some top of the line experiences. And so it's pretty exciting what's happening there. Earlier you mentioned what's changing in workforce. Pre-pandemic, I was knocking on people's doors. I was making phone calls. I was, it was me going out and it was an action going in that direction. Post-pandemic, it's the opposite. It's the phone rings. It's, you meet somebody somewhere and they're like, here's my card, call me and let's make this happen. And so It's a great time to be in this space. It's a great time to be building these programs for industry.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I have an interesting story, and I was going to say, has this changed at all? So we were having some kitchen and bathrooms done in our home, and the tile work is beautiful, and you know it's not easy. And the tile guy was like eyeballing everything, you know, he cut. Well, his son shows up one day, and he, you know, it's a father-son team now, and he really loves doing tile work. However, his degree is in accounting, and he said to me, I really love numbers, but it's not my passion. And so I looked at him and I said, and? And he said, I want to do tile work. He said, but my father can like eyeball everything and just cut it. He said, I actually take the tools out and I use my numbers. And so I said to him, so you're taking something that you learned that's new and you're taking it and applying it to an old trade that there's not that many people that are able to do what your dad can do. And so I was wondering if you saw a lot of changes the way, you know, a student or an educator or society as a whole has seen the difference when it comes to trades and opportunities in the future. Here was a perfect case of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even Generation Z, this new generation, is seeing it differently, right? And they're taking back because they're looking at, hey, they're hearing the stories of, hey, we need. But they're also saying, I don't want debt. I don't want to take that on initially, right? And they're hearing the opportunities of, hey, go here, start working. I mean, you can go in the healthcare. You can go, and if you get a job at a hospital as an entry level, the hospital system will pay for you to continue your education, right? In the trades, we're seeing a lot of individuals that will go through our program and then go into an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. So like one of our electrical students, we had 16 that or 17 that finished yesterday. We were really excited about that and celebrated them. They can go in and apply to one of the local apprenticeships after they're finished, and they're able to skip it. They take a test and skip the first year. So they're able to go in an accelerated pathway, and all of them get a guaranteed an interview. And it's a really awesome opportunity. But when they finish that apprenticeship, we're seeing them want to come back to get an associate's degree and eventually a bachelor's degree. And so long we've been talking about, you need this four-year degree. And then you hear other people saying, no, what you need is this, you know, this trade or this skill. And I'm saying, well, we all have different pathways, right? Let's give pathways for everybody. Right? It's not an either or, it can be both as well. Yes. Because you might want to eventually be a vice president at a large, you know, industry, and they might require you to have a certain, you know, accounting degree or an MBA or something of that nature. And coming from the trade and the apprenticeship and working your way up, we've seen people do that.
Well, but also if you went into a large, you know, construction firm or an electrician or something, and just imagine if you are in leadership position, but you also have the experience of the trade. That to me, that says, you know, I know, I mean, I come from financial services and I come from a sales background and leadership background, and it always makes me laugh when somebody's teaching sales, but they've never sold anything.
Right.
You know, so it's the same thing, you know,
right.
I don't know. But you know,
it's funny, you know, it's so awesome that I think I ended up in this world, because I talked about my wife a little bit earlier and once again, she is the more talented one, and I can go on and on in examples. When I met her, she was a cosmetologist, and she was a master cosmetologist. And then she goes, oh, so you're going to go back and finish college? I'll go with you. And so she did, and she finished her four-year degree afterwards. And then she had two things, and so she was able to go work for a Fortune 500 company selling hair care products. That same company also had pharmaceuticals. And so then at some point, she made the transition from one to the other, and she's built a career in pharmaceutical management and so on and so forth. I say all of that to say that, like, we all have unique pathways, right? And like try to say you're this or you're that or you're this, it's not it. We just need to provide people with the opportunities and the access to different educational opportunities so they can get the skills they need to go in the direction that they want to go. And that's what I love doing. And so I'm really fortunate in the role that I'm here at the college.
Yeah, and sometimes it's backwards. Like, I have a teaching degree, but when we all graduated and we became teachers, we were all laid off within 6 months because there were too many teachers. So last in, first out. And then I went into, I did all kinds of things, but I went into construction. I did construction sales for roofing. I mean, so I did it the other way. I had the experience of teaching. So teaching was also selling, and, you know, and so then I was in construction. And so I think I got the best of both worlds.
You know? Oh, without a doubt. Right. Without a doubt. Well, because so much is sales, too. You can lean on those education concepts. Right. I mean, it's all so closely related when you're trying to, like, you know, educate a customer on bringing them through. And so or the opposite, selling a student on an idea of why they need to learn something. Those skill sets aren't that far apart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've seen and heard that registration and admission are down in universities. What are you seeing in workforce? Is it continuing to go up or what?
So to be honest with you, we've seen a constant increase in enrollment over the last couple of years. We did take a pretty big dip at one point, but we're seeing up to double digit returning percentages of students coming back. Like in my trades classes, we put them out there and they fill relatively quickly. We look at bringing on more sections. In our healthcare, same. We can just put them, we've seen a dramatic increase in students that want to go into practical nursing or medical assisting, our cosmetology area. We have so many people that want to be in that space too. I mean, it's as the college, we're able to bring such a great value because of the price point of what we're able to offer. And we're able to bring the academic experience and, you know, challenge to students, but at the same time bring it at a price point because we're a state institution that is very affordable. And so I feel that we're seeing a large push of students back into short-term programs, and they're looking at that stair-step model as a way forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of companies do you look for to work with and to be strategic partnerships with? Is it what the environment is asking for, or are there certain companies that you always look for?
To be honest with you, it's really about networking need, right? I don't want to name drop different companies that we work with, yeah. But whether it's a large healthcare system, you know, of course, that's an easy one, right? They have a large amount of individuals. We have large construction companies here that constantly need individuals. Or, you know, we also have, the shipyards. You know, based on where we are, we have a large contingent. There's so many companies that need welders in our area because each one of those areas is expanding. And then you throw on top of that Jacksonville's expansion that we've seen in this market over the last, 5 years. We've probably gotten 150,000 plus individuals that have moved into the region. And so, and I could be wrong about that. So, but I'm just, off of reports. I just don't want anybody to go, Judy, that guy said, but anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But nonetheless, infrastructure, we're seeing, more being put into our local infrastructure and different things of that nature. There's going to be building around here for the next 30 plus years, just based on what they're looking at now.
Excellent. Okay. So you said before that you created this low voltage program. Is that was it called low voltage? Okay. Yeah. Let's call it that. So are there any new trends coming up other than AI? Is there anything like that you think you should, get the step ahead of it because it's coming? Anything that you see or hear?
I don't necessarily know that I'm going to go and say that, go to that perspective. And this is even outside of some of the things that we do, but the autonomous vehicle side of the house, right? One of the things that we have a great automotive program here at the college. And, I'm seeing our professors in that world working with, National Science Foundation grants. They're on the cutting edge of the autonomous vehicle and even how they're incorporating AI into those vehicles and the transition of things where even our welders are now, we're looking at buying robots to train our welders, not only how to weld, but how to run a robot, right? So, you know, that's going to be the next thing that we bring on board, because that's what the shipyard uses. So it's more how we can continue to infuse the cutting edge technology into the programs that we have. But we want to teach from where, you know, we want people to know the full gamut, the full spectrum.
Right, right, right. Okay, so I want to shift just a little bit, because you know that my main focus is women, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just women, but mostly women. And while there are more and more trades and more positions and more opportunities for women in things that were 100% male, there's still a lot of work to do. So coming from you know, being the only woman in construction, the only woman in roofing, and the only woman in financial services, I always make sure that we serve and support male-dominated industries. But there was recently, I'm going to read this to you, there was recently a story, an article about, it says, the U.S. Department of Labor announces availability of $6 million in grants to attract, retain women in registered apprenticeships and non-traditional occupations. Now, I know that your college does not necessarily have an apprenticeship program that you directly oversee. What are your thoughts about this? Because truly, there are more and more women popping up and having a space in places that didn't exist before.
I'm a giant supporter of this, but we are actually, we're moving on our own right, you know, to make the difference. Last year, for instance, we brought in Deila Ray, who is a world famous welder, and she came and she talked about like how she built a welding company and what she did. And we let her talk with all of our trade students, and then she welded with them at the end of it. And it was just this wonderful event. And so that's something that, you know, she's even got her own line of PPE, and she's just been really great to our students. Other things that we've done is started utilizing women on our advertisements for those programs. For instance, our electrical program has a woman that's featured on the front of it. And then a lot of times we'll use a woman on our welding items that we push out to individuals. And it's really to create that, right? Is to, how can we say, hey, you are no longer in this area, or you were kept out of this area, but there's this great opportunity. Yesterday, like I said, we had 17 electricians or electrician technicians finish our program. Three of them were women, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that we're there yet, but we're at about 17% across our trades. And then we see that building on our commercial vehicle driving, which is another area that's traditionally very male oriented. We're looking at trying to hire faculty members or for instance, like our program manager over our construction trades, she's female, to bring a different into the conversation.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I love to hear that. And I know that you definitely work hard to make things more available to more people. So I'm right there with you. Like, I think it's awesome.
And then I'm going to flip it too. How do we get more men to realize that practical nursing is a great opportunity and a pathway forward, or, you know, and so on and so forth. And so, yeah. You know, I think there's opportunity there as well.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I was brought in by a university to talk about the soft skills. And when you talk about soft skills, people naturally go to female. I mean, they just do. I'm not sure why, but they naturally do. And so when I was doing this, we had probably about 30 to 35% men in the room. It was standing room only. And at the end, one of them asked a question and he said, "Why are we not invited to this conversation?" Now, it never said to women only. It never said that. It was just about soft skills. So they brought me back the next year and they said, "We want you to do exactly the same thing." I said, "Do you want me to update it?" "Nope, exactly the same thing." And then we were like 50%. And then the third year it was like 60%. And so it, you know, it does grow, but you're right. It's not just, you know, bringing women into male dominated industries. It has to be men that are also seeing the value and the impact that they can make in certain things.
Absolutely. And I think it's exactly what you said, though, like you have to have intent, right? you have to do, we have to do the little things to really show that individuals belong in those areas. I'm telling you, like seeing the amount of women that all of a sudden are interested in welding or like I said, the electrical program or even HVAC, it's really nice. It's really great to see.
Yeah, and I like it because they're not being brought into a program because they're female.
Because they're absolutely.
Just checking a box because been there, done that, and that's not fun.
Right.
So, okay, can I brag about Florida State College of Jacksonville for a moment?
Absolutely.
Okay, so during the fall of 2023, 25,832 individuals took a class at your college. Over 140 degrees and certifications were tied to local industry needs, and you were named as one of the 150 institutions eligible to compete for a $1 million Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, the nation's signature recognition of high achievement and performance among two-year colleges. So congratulations on all levels. And what does that mean for, you know, for the school going forward?
You know, our president is phenomenal. Dr. Avendano is just absolutely phenomenal. He's brought in a great vision. He's really opened the doors for us to work for this community. And he would like to see us end up number one in the next couple of years in that Aspen, without a doubt. But nonetheless, he's really put a challenge on us to be our best and to be better every day. And you know, that's what we try to do, and we try to live that, and we try to push that forward for our students and for this community.
Okay, so what can you say about Florida State College of Jacksonville that somebody might not know that they should know?
I feel like we're like the best kept secret in the Jacksonville region, meaning that, you know, it seems like we've had three names over the years, whether it was, you know, FCCJ or so, you know, Florida State Junior College. And so, you know, nonetheless, I think that's changed, but we have so many alumni that come through here. I think people take us for granted and they don't necessarily see because they're like, oh yeah, I know that school. That's where I got my AA or my AS, and thinking very myopic about the college. We have over 150 programs, right, for students in so many different areas, you know, whether it's aviation, or healthcare, right? And so funeral services. And so there are things that I, you know, that I've learned being here that I'm not saying that I didn't know that they existed, but I didn't know where students got trained for them until I got at this college. And so I think that's the real thing is to, for anybody that's interested in learning more, to really see what we have, because we have that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. So looking ahead, what are you most excited for 2024, and how do you plan to continue making this amazingly positive impact on students and companies?
For me, we spent a lot of time and effort working with Duval County Public Schools to build out, in Baker County, to build out a few dual enrollment programs. And we built those out, and we were able to get in those, were in medical assisting, pharmacy technician, and of course, HVAC and welding, right? And so we've built those out and we've established them. I want to see those grow. And so we've really putting a lot of effort into growing those. And like for our medical assisting, we see that we're going to have 25 new students that are going to start in that program in the fall, which we're really excited about. The pharmacy tech, we're seeing it grow exponentially as well. And then of course the trades do exceptionally well. We also are starting a program, a transition program for students with intellectual disabilities. And so that's pretty phenomenal. That's something that we haven't had before. We were just awarded a $1.49 million grant to create that program. And so we're going to start that in the fall. We also have been working with the Arc of Jacksonville, which is a very similar, and we have a program with those and with them, and they bring a group of students with intellectual disabilities onto campus every day. And so I want to see that continue to grow. Those students, they've built a business, they've built, they're making t-shirts. They've sold like $3,000-$4,000 worth of t-shirts. It's pretty awesome to see what they've been able to do and create and make happen and when learning skills along the way. And so we're just really excited about a lot of things that we're doing on a lot of different fronts. And I wanna see those mature. That's what I'm looking for in this next year.
It's amazing. I can see it. So I'm excited for you. So you know there's going to be people that want to chat with you or connect with you. What's the best way to connect with you?
Without a doubt, it's gregory.worth, gregory.worth at fscj.edu. Please, I would love to have a conversation with anyone about that, about anything that we do, or you can just reach out to, my name is on the Florida State FSCJ website, so you can find me there as well. Anything I can do to help anybody else in the community, or if somebody thinks that they have something that we could, work with here, we're always open for a conversation. We're always looking for what's out there and what, what can we do better and what can we do, to serve our constituency.
Well, I would say there's a lot to hear and a lot to learn about, because, being the best kept secret is wonderful, but when it explodes, it's even better.
Right. When you start telling people, right. No, I agree. I will. And can I give one plug? Do you mind if I give one plug? So one of the things, if you are in a trade or you're in healthcare and you're looking to remodel your bathroom or you're looking to do something of that nature, reach out to your local community college, because chances are they're just like we are, and they need instructors, and they need good instructors, and they need adjunct instructors to teach part-time to students. One of the hardest things one of the biggest challenges we face is finding great instructors that want to give up their time, people that are currently working in industry that want to come back and teach part-time. And so if you're out there and you want to do that, reach out to your local college. They will appreciate it, I promise.
That's awesome. Thank you for saying that. That's really special, because I know that there are other colleges that listen in, and I know that they would appreciate that too. So, well, Greg, thank you so much for being with me. You did definitely share your brilliance. I know you weren't sure about that, but you definitely shared your brilliance. And I so appreciate you taking the time to be with me and everybody else listening.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. And like I said, congratulations on all your success with this show and everything else that you've done. And so I really appreciate the opportunity. And thank you for anybody that's out there that listens. So I appreciate that as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening in to Selling the Skirt with Judy Hoberman. We appreciate you joining us. And like I always say, we'll see you next time.
All right. Perfect. We are clear.
That was awesome.